Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. There's so much to talk about on the parasha, but don't worry, Michael, I will not go too long on it. We'll keep it very bekitzer. Also, I want to tie it in to a important yard sale that we had this week. Beis Kislev was the yard sale of Aaron Cutler, as well as the yard sale of Reb Dov Revel, which we can talk about both of them, and there's actually a connection between the two of them, but we're not going to get into it now because we're trying to stay on topic. But when you read through parashas, told us there's many questions that one has. One question that Reb Asher Weiss brings up, and I'm not going to get into his mahalach, but I find it fascinating, Jake. I can listen to Reb Asher Weiss in three languages now: Hebrew, English, and Yiddish. So on Friday, I was doing the Yiddish version. It was very cute. I was doing it with my son because I want him to learn a little Yiddish. So we listened to Reb Asher in Yiddish. It was very fascinating. I miss listening to Shurim in Yiddish. That was my yeshiva days. Even though Reb Asher's Yiddish is a little bit more Hasidish than the Litvish Yiddish I was used to, but I was trying to get my son to learn a little Yiddish.
Is it the same shir?
It's the same topic, just different languages. So it used to be Hebrew and English. Now I guess he added a Yiddish. So I got to listen to it in three languages. I listened a little in the Hebrew, but I enjoyed the Yiddish, and of course the English was most easiest for me to understand. But that's just a madrega to give a shir in three different topics, three different languages. But Reb Asher has a Gevaldik Akash, which I'm not going to get into now. I'm just trying to tell everyone they should listen to his Divrei Torah, not that he needs my endorsement. But he has a Kash that the whole parsha of Toldos seems to be so anti-Jewish values. The whole trickery and the whole game of how the Bukhari came about is so against Jewish values. And he quotes a Chassam Sofer, where he says this about the Chassam Sofer, that it's the only tshuva from the Chassam Sofer that has no lumdus in it. That was his words. Because the tshuva of Chassam Sofer is discussing how do you deal with people that are not Yosher. And the Chassam Sofer writes over there that stay away from people that are not honest, even if they're big Talmid Chacham. The most important thing in life is people have to be a Yosha. A person has to be honest. I thought that was a very important lesson for life, as we live in a world today where everyone's trying to come up with chaps and loopholes, some of them questionable, some of them legitimate. But his point was, stay away from anyone who's not, that's what Chassam Sofer said, stay away from anyone who's not a Yosha. But that's something you should all listen to on your own. But I want to bring up an idea that Reb Aaron Cutler spoke about, as well as Reb Chaim Kanevsky speaks about. Now, what exactly is the deal with Esav? Now, you read through Esav, you get the impression Esav was like a punk rocker kid who sat all day long on his phone, you know, smoking, doing drugs, hanging out with girls, completely disconnected from Judaism and spirituality. But points out about in color that absolutely is not possible, and it can't be so. Why? Because we find later on in the parasha that when he loses the Bechari, he goes crazy. He's so upset, he's so frustrated over losing a blessing from an old rabbi. If Esav's entire ideology in life was disconnected from Judaism and disconnected from Torah and anything that represents Torah, why would he be so bothered, so disturbed over a lost blessing from an old rabbi? So Rabbi Aaron Cutler points out that that's not the pshat. Rabbi Aaron Cutler explains that Avada Esav was raised in a from home, he had values, he knew what's important, but like many of us, he was a Baal Taiva. He had desires. He had a desire, instead of learning Gemara like his brother, he wanted to go out in the field and make trouble. He is a Baal Taiva. But deep down, Esav knew what's right and what's wrong. He was no fool, Esav. And therefore, when he comes to the Bechari, he says, Ki ayef anoichi, I'm tired. He says, I'm too tired for fighting my Yetzirah. Just too much. I'm giving in to the Yetzirah. And that's how Aaron Cutler explains it. It's a whole different outlook on Esav. Instead of looking at Esav as this, you know, this off the derech, no connection, mumr lahachas type of kid, he was really more a mumr l'teyavon. He more had a desire to do things that were wrong, and that was what pushed him away. Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that Yitzchak knew that. Yitzchak knew that that Esav wasn't cut off for learning, but Yitzchak thought that perhaps it could be a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Yitzchak thought that maybe he can have that Yaakov will be the Ishtam Yeshivalim, he'll be the one learning, and Esav won't be learning. Learning is not for him, but he'll support Torah. He'll be able to have a connection to Torah through his mumminess, through his other interactions. But Yitzchak was no fool. Yitzchak knew that Esav was not going to be the guy who was going to be learning. He knew it wasn't for him, and therefore, says Reb Yaakov, what Yitzchak was hoping for through the Bechira would at least be a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, at least keep his brother Esav connected into the fold. I had to mention these two stories about Aaron Cutler again. I don't want to take up too much time, but I think they'll find them very interesting. Aaron Cutler is well known, was an unbelievable fundraiser. He fundraised a lot for his yeshiva, for other meisters. But contrary to what the people will tell you today, especially in the city of Lakewood, Aaron had a very, very close relationship with Rabbi Soloveitchik. They were very, very close, to the point where that when Aaron was nifter and when Shnei was just taking over, the yeshiva was in financial straits, and Rabbi Soloveitchik accepted upon himself to go raise money for the yeshiva. He went to his own Baal Batim, that his Baal Batim should go give money to help support Lakewood Yeshiva. Now, maybe Lakewood is a better financial situation than YU is in, but that's a schmooze for a different time. But what I found even more interesting was that Reb Shneur, when he came back from learning in Eretz Yisrael, Reb Aaron told him he has to go learn by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Reb Shneur said 6 months he learned by Rabbi Soloveitchik in YU, and this is according to Rabbi Rakefet's testimonial, so take it with however you want to take it. So he said, he asked Reb Shneur, he said, what was your take of Rabbi Soloveitchik? He said, Rabbi Soloveitchik was amazing. He said, but the Bachrim, I don't know, they dressed a little funny. They didn't dress like I was used to from Eretz Yisrael. I couldn't get past that. But he said, but the Rabbi Soloveitchik himself, he said, was an unbelievable experience. So again, if you tell these stories today in Lakewood, they'll throw you out. But I'm telling you now, these are all, at least according to Rakefet, they're all true stories. One last story about Reb Shneur and Lakewood, and then we'll move on.
Rabbi, can I add one thing on that?
No, Michael, it's taking up too much time.
Very quickly, I'll tell you, what happened was they met, believe it or not, in a Aguda convention.
Yeah.
And Reb Soloveitchik went to the Aguda convention.
Yeah.
And somebody asked Reb Aaron, you know, you're talking about Reb Soloveitchik, you know what I'm saying? He says, Unzer Gang is the Zelbig, aber the Matara is different. Meaning, our ways are the same.
Yeah.
How we get to them is a little different. That's all he said.
They were very close. They were together in Chinuch Atzmai. They had a very deep relationship. Again, you're going to go to Lakewood and say this today, they'll throw you out, but that's because they like to rewrite history. They also like to tell you in Lakewood, it was well known in the early years of Lakewood, they did not have Chav Yisrael Milk. So a boy came to his Rebbe in Cheder in Lakewood, and he told him, my grandfather learned in Lakewood in the early years, and he told us that there was no Chav Yisrael Milk. And the Rebbe said, no, it can't be true. Your grandfather's making a mistake. So the grandfather came down and told the Rebbe, he said, it's a shame we have to rewrite history. Why do you have to make up history? Lakewood in the 40s, they didn't have Chav Yisrael Milk, because they didn't have Chav Yisrael Milk b'chlal that much in America. People like to rewrite history, not only in the political world, but in the Jewish world, specifically, to fit their narrative. One last story about Reb Shneur. I just heard this on Shabbos. What?
It was mixed seating at their dinner.
Yeah, it was a different world. One last story about Reb Shneur in Lakewood, and we'll get to the sugya today. Reb Shneur, when he was fundraising for Lakewood, he went to Memphis, Tennessee. There was a wealthy gevir named Rabbi Whitman, who's already passed. I know his son. He has a son who's a magid in the mir. But this Mr. Whitman was a wealthy, influential yid in Memphis. So when Reb Shneur came to Memphis to fundraise, they took him to Elvis Presley. They went to fundraise by Elvis. And Elvis asks Reb Shneur for a bracha. And Reb Shneur says, I don't give blessings to non-Jews, which is a chiddush because his father did, but okay. And nonetheless, Elvis gave Lakewood a blank check for the yeshiva, and they made it out for $15,000. So Elvis Presley also supported Lakewood Yeshiva. So now we know all the people that supported Lakewood Yeshiva. So someone joked, if you see a sefer that says Nidvas Ayin Pei, that's maybe Elvis Presley in the Oitzah Svarim. But nonetheless, Elvis Presley did give $15,000 to Lakewood Yeshiva.
If it was a blank check, why they only write it for 15?
Because they don't want to feel like they were chazerim. They don't want to feel like, you know, so they took only, again, $50,000 was a lot of money back then.
Right.
But that's the way I was told the story from reliable sources on Shabbos. Nonetheless, makes for a great story. But in any case, Rabbi Yisrael, let's get back to the topic at hand. Again, we could talk about Dov Revel's accomplishments as well, because according to Dr. Joseph Kamenetsky, he once popped into Ner Yisrael, and they told the boys that Beis Kislev was the yard site of two Yidden who spread the most Torah in America. And the boys said, who? They said Rabban Cutler and Dov Revel. Dov Revel did an unbelievable amount of Habatzis Torah on his own, even though he lived a very short life. He was Nifter in 1940. But he was able to bring over many, many of the future Magid Yeshurim in YU. He brought over on visas to save them from the Holocaust. With the way he himself lived a fascinating life. He was a fascinating person. How he got YU off the ground. Again, a shmooze for a different time. But his yard site was also on Beis Kislev. Okay, we're holding over here in the sugya of Kusi. The sugya of Akusis. Now the truth is, the sugya of Kusis comes up in many, many places in Shas. It comes up in Chulin, it comes up in Gittin, it comes up in Kedushin. Comes up obviously in Ksubas, it comes up in Baba Kama. We're going to touch a little bit upon it here, but again, really we're going to try to stick with the topic at hand, not to get too sidetracked, as I am often guilty of doing. So Taisus starts off like this. It says in our Mishnah that one of the women that you live with, that you have to pay a knas, is a kusis. Now, who are the kusis? So if you look in Malachim, in Malachim Beis, the story goes that the Melech Ashur brought a bunch of different people, not only kusim, there were other nations also, that he brought with them to Eretz Yisrael. And the question was like, what do we do with these people here in Eretz Yisrael? So they initially were definitely Avdei Avodah Zarah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out these lions as like a punishment for not behaving. And then supposedly they were Megayr. So the question that always pops up, B'chol HaTerek Kuloi, is was their Geirus a genuine Geirus? Was it what we call Kusei Geiri Emesein? Was it a legitimate conversion? They're regular Jews. Oh, Kusei Geiri Aroi, you say. They only converted out of the lions with the fear of being killed. And therefore they're not considered a Geirim. And presumably, this we'll talk much more about today, presumably they're Goyim Gemurim. If their Geirus was not acceptable, then they're regular Goyim. They have no status of a Jew whatsoever. So let's see Taisvus. So again, it says in our Mishnah that if a person is Ma'anis or Mefata Akusi, he has to give Knaster. So Zakri Ashi, Pirish Bekuntris, Tikasav Akusim Geiri Aroyusin. Rashi held that kusim are geiri aroyis. Wasn't meant to be geiri aroyis. Kipshutay means they're goyim. Their geirus was not valid whatsoever. Therefore, v'yeshnam belav the loisis chatin. Therefore, they would fall into the violation of loisis chatin because you're not allowed to marry them. They're considered one of the. They're considered goyim, and you're not allowed to marry goyim. So, therefore, living with a kusis would present the lav of loisis chatin. But says Tosfos, v'zehu lefishi tosoi. This is only Rashi l'shita soy. Kidesaka daitech meikar ba'aro. This is the havamin of the Gemara in Yevamos. That what the benachruson islu isachasnas. Because when we had a Gemara in Yevamos, a very complicated Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos deals with when is there an issa to marry a guy? Is it benachri yusan? Did I lose the Mar Mekemes over here? Is it benachri yusan? Let me find it. What did I do over here? I hit one button, I'm all done over here. Is it benachri yusan? Or is it... Let's try this again. Or is it only after they become megayer? Adina! Or is it only after they become megayer? So we had a machoikis in the Gemara. Michael's going to take care of that, okay? Is it once they're not Jewish or even after they become megayer? So if you hold that even when they're not Jewish, there's still an issue of loisis chatin, so therefore Zag Rashi, says Taisis, then Rashi's right. Because right now, they didn't do any geirus, they're goyim gemurim, and even on goyim gemurim, there's still a lav of loisis chatin. So points out, Taisis is a ara. That's how Taisis speaks out, that this whole Rashi is lushitasai. That what? That Rashi that holds... Rashi that holds...
I'm trying to get it, but I got to keep leaving to share because I'm not on the computer this morning monitoring it as well.
I have to find out where she went.
So give me a minute.
Whenever I need them, then
I got all your kids' homework, I see.
Want to do it for them also, Michael? Okay, let me get back to the share. In any case, so that's Taisus's cheshbon. Now, so again, let's just work it out again. When the Torah says you're not allowed to marry non-Jews, the question is, when are we talking about? Are we talking about when they're still not Jewish? Or we're talking about even after they become Jewish, they're megayer, you still can't marry them. So then you have the obvious kasha. So how does a person become megayer? So then you're going to have to answer that the pasuk of loisis chatan was limited to the zayin ammim. Now the kusim were not from the zayin ammim, not like the nesinim. So therefore says Taisus, if Rashi is going to hold that living with a kusi would be loisis chatan, and Rashi is of the opinion that goyim, that kusim were geiri aroyos, there was no real geiris. That means by definition Rashi must hold that the isser of living with a goy is while they're still not Jewish. Because they never converted, and therefore, even though they're still not Jewish, they're still alive. Even though the Gemara in Yevamos says, no, there's no lav to marry a guy, because you can't marry a guy. It's not Shaykh Tvisis Kedushin on a guy. So the lav can't be while they're a guy. The lav must be after they're Megayer. But Rashi holds not like that. Rashi holds the lav is even while they're not Jewish, be Nachri Yusan, while they're still considered a guy. And therefore, that's why Rashi holds is a lav of Loisis Chatin. But Taisus brings over here from the Rivam. Says the Rivam, Zog Taisus, Umashu Pirish the Kasava Kusim Geri Aroyi saying, Loi Nira L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ben Rav Meir. Who was it, Yitzchak Ben Rav Meir? He was the Rivam, also known as Rashi's grandson. Rashi had two famous son-in-laws. One was the Rivan, and one was the Rivam. One was the Rivan, and one was Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir fathered four boys, three boys that we all know of. One was the Rashbam, he was the oldest brother. Then the middle brother was the Rivam, that Taisus is quoting. Then the last brother was Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam was the oldest brother, he lived almost 90 years, which was very rare for 12th century. Then the Rivam, we lost the Maamar Kaimis over here. Thank you. I don't know how we lost it again. Where'd it go?
She's on her way down, right?
No, she's here. She's working it out.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to go offline.
No, we're trying to figure it out.
Because you lost the first page.
Oh, that's page two. I need page one.
She lost?
I lost page one. Yeah. Okay, so let's get it back. Okay, in any case, so this Rabbeinu Meir had four sons. His last son's name was Shlomo. He wasn't one of the Balei Taisvis. He was more of like a grammar person. But nonetheless, a reputable Yid. But the three popular sons were the Rashbam, the oldest son, who we all know about. The middle son, who was the Rivam, who Nebuch lived only 40 years. He died relatively young. And then the last son was Rabbeinu Tam. Now, it's interesting. I talked about this in my shul over Shabbos. Anyone know Why Rabbeinu Tam is called Rabbeinu Tam?
His name was Yaakov.
His name was Yaakov. So why was he called Rabbeinu Tam? So I said over what I thought the pshat was because of the pasuk in last week's parasha. Yaakov ish Tam Yoshev Olim. That since the pasuk says in last week's parasha that Yaakov was an ish Tam, and this Rabbeinu Tam was Rabbi Yaakov who was unbelievable. So therefore, that's how he got the name ish Tam. So I pointed out that it really should be then Rabbeinu Tam, not Rabbeinu Tam. So it's Yaakov ish Tam. So someone told me that's not pshat. That's not why he got the name. So why did he get the name? So there's two other versions. One version is because, as I mentioned to you, he was the youngest brother. So his older brother, the Rivam, already took the Reish Yud abbreviation. So Rabbi Yaakov couldn't have another abbreviation, Reish Yud. So he had to come up with a new abbreviation, so they came up with Rabbeinu Tam. The other pshat someone pointed out to me is a Taisus and Ksubas Daf Mem Zayin, actually. Ah, we're back. Thank you. There's a Taisus and Ksubas Daf Mem Zayin, but Taisus quotes a medrish on the Pasuk in Parashat B'chukaisai, the Tam Lerik Chachamav. I think that's the Pasuk, where Taisus quotes a din that if a husband, let's say a girl gets married to a man, and the father gives her an unbelievable dowry, tons and tons of money, and during Shavuot Brachos, she dies. So now this guy, this son-in-law, walks away with old dad's money, and dad, didn't really like him that much, but he married his daughter, but the daughter's dead. So the halach is that dad loses the money, it stays by the son-in-law. Rabbeinu Tam made a takana that if the wife dies within the first year, the money goes back to the dad. So that's where we got the name Vitam, because the pasuk says Vitam Lurik, I think Chachamov, Chanichov, some word like that. That's how we got the name Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway,
even if they're children?
I don't think it matters.
Really?
I don't think so. Again, I'm not holding that sugya, but someone pointed out to me that that's the pshat where he got the name Rabbeinu Tam. But in any case, this is the Rivam arguing on his Zayda, the great Rashi. So, frek the Rivam Akasha. Says the Rivam, I don't believe you can learn our Mishnah, go in Kusim Geri Aroyasin. Why? The Imkain, third line in Taisus. Says the Rivam, Rashi's Enikol, the Imkain, Oyvik Yechovmi. If you hold that Kusim Geri Aroyasin, and therefore they never converted, all these Jews, all these people never converted, they only did a fake conversion, so they're Goyim. Therefore, what's wrong with them being Goyim? Va'oyvik Yechovim Ein La Knas. So Taisus, it's partial that a guy has no knas. If a man goes over and is ma'anis a girl who's not Jewish, no knas. How does Taisus know this? So Taisus backs it up with a Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara has a right. The Gemara has a kash in the first paragraph of Ksubis. The Gemara's kash is if you're going to have girls. If the Gemara's talking about if let's say you're megayir children under the age of 12, or girls under the age of 12. What happens when they become adults? Do they have the right to renege on their gayers? You were a Megara 4-year-old girl because you thought it was the best thing for her to be Jewish. Jewish girls do better than Gentile girls. But then she turns 12 and she realizes it's not worth it. I'd rather be not Jewish. So does she have the right to renege? So one of the kashas that Gemara has in Ksubis is that if she's going to renege, and therefore you're going to end up giving the money to her when she was, what's going to happen if you're Ma'anasir? So you're going to give her the money, and then she's going to go eat the money when she's not Jewish. So the Gemara over there says, Yavinu lo knas, you're going to give her knas v'ozlo v'ochla b'nachvius, and she's going to use it, she's going to consume it while she's not Jewish. So it says, Taisus, you see from over here, that there's no knas given to Goy. Okay? So for Taisus, is a very simple kasha. If Rashi holds kusim, Geri Aroy is saying, how could it be that there'll be knas to the girl if she's a regular Goy? And Taisus proves from a Gemara that there's no knasas allowed to Goy. Now we'll talk Billy Nether later today, hopefully, if Kivega's kasha, that why do you need to bring a rye from Davyud Aleph? Why don't you bring a rye from the Mishnah? If you look in the Mishnah, what was one of the cases left out? Goyim. It never said in the Mishnah, if someone's ma'anis a goy, he has to pay knas. Why did the Mishnah leave out an entire demographics of people? The Mishnah talks about Nesina, Kusi, this or that. Why don't you talk about a goy? So says Rabbi Kivega, why is that not the biggest raya that a goy doesn't have knas? Now, we'll see Rabbi Kivega has an unbelievable chap to why a goy doesn't have knas. But we will get there. So Taisus' first kasha is that it can't be kusim gerer roysein, because if it's kusim gerer roysein, there's no reason why the girl would get a knas. That's kasha number one. V'oy, says Taisus, the Gemara muki masisin ki Rav Meir. The Gemara later on in our paragraph is going to tell us that this Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. V'Rav Meir isla de gerer emesein, and we know Rav Meir is of the opinion that kusim a gerer emesein. So therefore, Frekter Rashi, Frekter Rivam, it's not going to work. Besides for the fact, says Taisvis, that if you're going to tell me that Rashi, that we're going Kusim Geri Aroyasin, and there's no reason why the girl gets a Knas, but the Mishnah itself is going to Rav Meir, and Rav Meir holds Kusim Geri Emesin. I, Frekter Taisvis, Vyavagav, the Kulam, Asis, and Loyasik, Rav Meir. So Taisvis, that's not such a kasha, because the whole Mishnah is not in line with Rav Meir. Why the Bita, Omag Begimara, the Loyasik, Havasay, because one of the cases in the Mishnah is Bita, and Bita doesn't work according to Rav Meir. So maybe you'll tell me that when the Mishnah says Kusi, it's also not in line like Rav Meir, because as it is, the whole Mishnah is not like Rav Meir, so Taisus can't be. Because there's a Gemara Baba Kama. What's the Gemara Baba Kama? Mikamakoim, But when it comes to our sugya, when it comes to kusim, the savri geri emesayin isa kavasei. That we do hold like him. Why? Because the Gemara says in Baba Kama, the fourth perek, shor she Yisrael shenogach shor she kusi. Let's say you have a shor of Yisrael that gore the shor that belonged to a kusi. Salach is potter. The Jew is potter. Question is, why is he potter? He was mazikim. So the Gemara says, Mishum de knasu de konis remeir bimemoinam. The Gemara says that even though remeir holds kusim geri emesayin, and if the geri emes, they're regular Jews, so if they're regular Jews, why don't you have to pay the full, why are you exempt from paying him? So the Gemara answers, because remeir holds, we knas them. We don't want the intermingling between the Jews and the Kusim, even though they're Geri Emesein. But in order to ensure that we don't intermingle, this way, if a Goyish, if a Kusi gets damaged by us, he doesn't get paid. So the Gemara over there has a Kasha. Uparich, and the Gemara over there in Baba Kama asks, Mimas Nisim from our Mishnah. Tohocho, the Kusis Yesh Leknas. The Gemara has a Kasha. 1 second. If Rav Meir holds Kusim Geri Emesein, and Rav Meir holds we want to stay away from Kusim by not paying them, so why do we give them Knas in our Mishnah? So, frekti gemara baba kama, who parchim masnis and the hocha the kusis yesh leknas. And gemara gufa asks on Rav Meir, how do you learn our mishnah? So, frek toisis visakadat the knas v'knas v'memaynam hachanami luktes. That's gemara's kasha. The gemara's kasha is if Rav Meir was such a proponent of knasing kusim and not wanting them to get money from Jews, and that's why if you gore, if you're a shor gores a shor shakusi, you're potter. But if he gores you, he's chayiv. So why don't we say the same thing that when he's ma'anis, when you're ma'anis a kusi, you shouldn't have to pay. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So Zok Taisis Alma, what do we see? The Masnis and the Hacha Savri the Geri Emesin. The Gemara's kasha is based on the premise that they Geri Emes, and therefore they deserve to get a knas. But Rav Meir holds they don't get a knas. So frankly, Gemara, how does Rav Meir learn our mission? So that's Taisis's two kashas on Rashi. So Taisis says, okay, so what's the pshat? Alma it must be the Masnis and the Hacha the Savri the Geri Emesin. So says Taisis, no, I disagree with Rashi. We must hold the Kusim Geri Emesin, the regular Jews. So what's the obvious kasha? If Kusim Geri Emesein, they're regular Jews, so what's the chiddush? Pshita the Yeshlo Knas, the Yisrael's Gemurisi. She's a regular Jewish girl. Why do you think she doesn't get a Knas? Yishloimer, if a Taisvis, the Sakadaiduch de la Yavina le Knas, shalo yitamu behen. I would think, like the Gemara says in Baba Kama, that we don't want to intermingle with them. So the same way we don't want to intermingle with them when it comes to our animal goring their animal, maybe we don't want to intermingle with them when it comes to what we do to them. And therefore the girl should not get a Knas. Kamash Malan, she still gets her Knas. So we have a Machloikis, we're showing him how to learn the mission of Kusi. Is a Kusi...
I ask a question.
Yeah.
If they're real Gerim, why don't we want to intermingle with them? Why are we discriminating against them?
Because we're going to see later on that the Gemara tells us that they themselves intermarried in other non-kosher, they married into Avodim and to Shvachos, so they themselves ruined a lot of their background by intermingling with families they shouldn't have married.
So they're not really complete Gerim.
Right, strictly speaking, they themselves, their Gerim was good. Right, but they ruined it later on by things that they did. So we have two pshatim in Taisus. Either Rashi's pshat that Geri Aroyi is saying, they're completely Gayim, or according to Taisus, they're completely Jewish, and nonetheless there's a Chiddush. So we talked about this last week, and I want to go back to it a little bit more this week, to a Yisoif from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer wants to be Miyashiv Rashi. Yeah, what was the Kasha? The Kasha was, you see from the Gemara in Ksubas Dafir Aleph, that a guy doesn't have Knas. So for Taisus, if a guy doesn't have Knas, so how can Rashi learn Kusim Geri Aroyi saying? If Kusim Geri Aroyisi means they're Goyim, if they're Goyim, Goyim don't have Knas. So the Chassam Sofer answered based on a Rosh. The Chassam Sofer quotes over here number two, a Rosh, in Kedushin. The Rosh says that let's say you have a Mumur, guy's a Mumur, Abba Yisrael, goes off the Derech, who's Yerish Aviv, his father dies, so now he, strictly speaking, he yarshins his father, Menat Taira. Kosav de Mikol Mokum Kansino Le de Lelechel Begeyusa. The Rosh came up with a Chiddush. Let's say you have a guy who's totally not religious, went off the Derech, completely a Mumur. His dad's full of money. His dad dies, so now he stands to inherit all the money. Chazal said, you know what? No. We don't want you to inherit the money. Aye, the Torah says, Midaraisa ben Yerush Aviv. Zok the Rosh. This is a Rosh. Says the Rosh, no. I see from the Gemara in Ksubis that that's what you're supposed to do. Why? Because he says, just like the Gemara says in Ksubis, you're not going to give money to a person who's going to eat it, Begeyusa. You're not going to give money to the girl who's going to then turn around and eat it while she's not Jewish because she reneged on her Judaism. So here also says the Rosh, I'm not going to give money to this Yisrael Mumur so he can run out and go do Avodah Zarah. So Zaktech Samsoi for 1 second. That's not what the Gemara in Ksubis was saying. The Gemara in Ksubis wasn't saying that we don't give money to people who are going to spend it incorrectly. The Gemara in Ksubis was saying is that there's no concept of Knas to a non-Jew, period. Zaktech Samsoi, the Rosh clearly learned the Gemara in Ksubis differently. The Rosh learned the Gemara in Ksubis totally different. Zaktech Samsoi, Muchach Midvarav, the Svir Le Degam Goya Isla Knas Medina. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's not Pshat and Tais, the Gemara. The Gemara wasn't saying that Chazad, the Torah, never instituted Knosses for Goyim. That's not the Pshat. Avada, Goy is entitled to a Knas. There's a din that people that are not going to follow the Torah's path, we're not going to consciously give money to. We're not going to give money to people that are just going to spend it in a non-Jewish manner. We're not going to give it to them. Now everything is beautiful. Avada Kusi might not be Jewish. Maybe she's not Jewish. Maybe Kusim Gerer Royse. But there's no din that Goyim don't deserve payments. There's a din we don't give payments to people that are going to use it in Avodah Zarah. But since this Kusi is not going to worship Avodah Zarah, because even though they're not Gerer MS, they still practiced within the confines of Judaism. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that's why Rashi would hold that they're able to get the Knas money. So what comes out according to this Chassam Sofer? Comes out according to Chassam Sofer, a fundamental machloikis b'shainet. Taisus and Ksubis, Taisus by us understood the Gemara and Ksubis, that there's no din Knas for a guy. Why? It doesn't make sense. Why would we Jews give away our money to a non-Jew so he can go spend it on worshipping Avodah Zarah? The Rosh says that's not the Pshat. The Rosh says Avada Mi'ikara, then they have the Knas. But it's like a Takanas Chazal. Chazal stepped in and Chazal said, you know what? We're not going to give money to people who are going to spend it on Avodah Zarah. So says Reb David Kviat in his Sukkah. I'm sorry. That's Machlokes Taisus in the Rosh. There's one problem over here. Who was this? This was the Rosh in Kiddushin. What does the Taisus Rosh say by us, number 3? It's Dr. Taisus Rosh. Pirish Rosh, Yikasav Vakusim Ger, Rosh, and Veloini Hira. L'Reb Yitzchak Ben Reb Meir, the Imkein Loya, Lo Knas, Kedamino Le'el, the Perakami, Avino Lo Knas, the Oz of Lachal Begiyusa. The Taisus Rosh by us learns like Taisus. Yet we just said that the Rosh in Kiddushin holds like the way the Chassam Sofer said it. So it's a shtickle steer in the Rosh. Because if the Rosh in Kedushin holds that there's no such din that you don't give Knas to a guy, but the whole din is you don't give Knas to someone who's going to spend it on Avodah Zarah, and the Kusim are not spending it on Avodah Zarah, so then why is the Rosh, the Tosis of the Rosh, bringing the Rivam's Raya that a guy doesn't get, that Kusim doesn't get Knas? Unless you tell me that the Rosh is not saying his own opinion, he's just quoting the Rivam, shtickle strange. Because we have this Rosh in Kedushin. The Rosh in Kedushin held that the Gemara in Ksubis is not saying a din that Goyim don't have Knas, because that case of the Rosh was a mummer, he's not a guy. The Rosh was saying a din, in Oivdi Avodah Zarah don't get Knas. So if the Rosh agreed that a Kusi is not an Oivdi Avodah Zarah practically, so why would he bring the Rivam as a Kasha? So the shtickle might be a stira in the Rosh in Kedushin to the Taisus Rosh by us in Ksub. Okay. But what's the lumdus behind this machloikis between Taisus and the Rosh? Again, Taisus assumes Goyim have no Knas. Nothing to talk about. While the Rosh assumes, no, it's not true. Knossus can be given to everyone and anyone. Just we're not going to give Knossus to people who are going to spend it on Avodah Zarah. So Zok the Sukkah's dog.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Shiurim are only applied to Jews, right? So a Nara.
Very good. Very good. You are mechavin to Mara Mokum number 10 on the page. That's going to stand as they say the whole concept of Shiurim, of age, doesn't apply to a guy. Yeah, we'll get to it another, hopefully number 10. Yeah, it's a good question. Very good. Okay, so let's see the Sukkah's David. David Kviat. So says David Kviat, Vihine Yesh Levarim Achloikas Atoises Varosh Bezet. Says the David Kid, let's try to understand this machlokes Taisus in the Rosh. What's the machlokes? Taisus holds that Goyim have no knosses. Nothing to talk about. Goyim doesn't get knas. While the Rosh says, no, it's not true. It's not about being Goyish or being Jewish. It's about worshipping Avodah Zarah. Says Dr. David Kid, Dine. Haloi bedine mazik yesh mi'uta d'shor re'e v'lo shor shal akum. It happens to be, this is actually interesting, negeh to halach l'maisa. I might give a share in it one of these days. You know, the Gemara makes a drasha. Ki'igah if shor ish es shor re'e. When my shor will damage the shor of my friend, the Gemara makes a drasha, re'eu v'loi shal akum. Which means if my shor damages the shor of a guy, I'm potter from pain. So there's a whole discussion in contemporary poskim, what happens if my car hits the car of a guy? This happens all the time. Right? You're driving in a heavily non-Jewish community. This doesn't work in the five towns. If you hit someone's car in the five towns, you have to assume they're Jewish. So that's not going to work. But let's say you're driving in the Bronx. You're driving somewhere, it's a ruboy akum. And your car hits them, and you do damage. You do legitimate damage. So shows you have to leave a little note, you know, I am, reach me at this number. So the Shaila is not like this. Which means, if my car is mazik your car, again, if I beat up a guy, or the mazik be a dayim, the pashtus is that I am chayiv for. If I go over and beat up a guy, then I have to pay him. But if my property is mazik his property, so many achroinim, many, many contemporary achroinim hold your potter. They talk about what happens if there's a Kiddush Hashem.
Well, how is a car accident? That's Adam. That's not...
Well, that's a Shiloh. First of all, again...
You're driving the car.
But again, but it's not Adam to Adam. It's Adam Lamazik, his property. Amazik
is
car.
It's like a shore that has an independent rut zone that goes and does damage.
Yeah, but the question is when the Miyat of Shari'e V'loi Shar Shal Akum, was that wasn't because of the shore has conscience das. That might have to do with the fact that the Torah... We'll talk a little bit about it. That the Torah was Mamayit for some reason. So the again, I'm not passing halacha lemaisa, but most achroyim, including Reb Chaim Kanievsky, are of the opinion that Yitaka Pater. Now, if you can make a Kiddush Hashem, maybe you should make a Kiddush Hashem. But the pashtus is you're not chayiv to leave a note on the guy's dashboard and say, oh, by the way, I smashed up your car. Here's my insurance. Strictly speaking.
What about they're going to hate us?
They're not going to know it's us. They're not going to know it's us, right? Obviously, if you get into fender bender with the guy.
There's cameras all over the place.
Okay. Again, he said it. There's no Chil Hashem element. If there's a Chil Hashem avad, you got to take that into consideration. Again, that's why I'm not saying halacha lemaisa for this reason, that I don't want to get myself into trouble. But it is an interesting shaila that does come up quite often, you know. But in any case, so the Gemara says, Baba Kama Shari Ev Loisher Shal Akum. So Dr. David Kviat like this. So there's a miyat. Veloisher Shal Akum. Umuchach. So what do you see from over here? The Beloy Miyuta Gam Akum Mechayiv. What do you see from over here? If the Torah didn't go out of its way to exclude a guy, you'd be chayiv if you're mazik a guy. Why? Because guyim count like people also. You have no right to go around being mazik a guy. Vahatam. So what's the pshat? Says Dr. David Kviat. Tzarech Loimar. The Kivim the Akum Yeshna Bedinim. A guy is also subjected to rules. That's one of the Shev Mitzvah Benenech. He has to have a judicial system. Halloy mitzvim heim al adinim im kein din echol lahem v'li Yisrael. We all have to live in the same harmonious world. I have to be, you know, held accountable for what I do. V'im kein b'knas. So now let's talk about knas. That's all true when it comes to memoinu. I'm mazik, my shah is mazik a goy shah. So without the exerce cost of avad, I'd be chayv to pay. The Torah was memayed it. So what about knas? What's knas? So zog the David Kviyat, v'im kein b'knas, halloy lekem yuta lamayit akum. There's no pasuk that's memayed a goy. So therefore the Rosh said, why should the guy be potter? You have to pay the guy. That's not pshat in the Gemara Ksumas. The Gemara Ksumas doesn't say you don't have to give knas to a guy. Why shouldn't you have to give knas to a guy? He's a second class citizen. And therefore the Rosh learned pshat in the Gemara is avada, we're not talking about midaraisa. Avada midaraisa, a guy has knas. And therefore kusim geri arayis, and they still have knas. Me'ekradin. Just Chazal said we don't want to give knas money to someone who's going to be able to buy this up. So what does Tosfos hold? Avala Tosfos yisbru d'shani knas u chiddush. Tosfos is going to say no. We bought the whole concept of knas is a chiddush. Uli Yisrael nemer v'loy la'akum. And therefore Tosfos will tell you the whole chiddush of knas that was only said to Jews and not to goyim. So therefore there's no concept of knas for non-Jews. Oi, another pshat that Tosfos yisavru the knas u gam came in mazik. He'll tell you a gavaldig chiddush. Taisus might tell you that the whole concept of knas is also because of a mazik. The kiva din ismatu akum din a mazik memela munach bazenami din knas. So Taisus will have to tell you alom neshishtukot Torah that the chi of knas is neveya from some form of adam a mazik. And just like in the parish of Hezek, the Torah was nismait akum, the Torah will be nismait akum for this also. Ul harosh knas din achu, and the Rosh will tell you no, knas is a whole different thing. So the way of David Kviat sets it up, it's a fundamental machloikis rishayim di rosh, the rosh and taisvis. The rosh was of the opinion that there's no din in the Torah that a goy doesn't get a knas. Why shouldn't a goy get a knas? A goy is not a second class citizen. Aye, the Gemara says that if you mazik a goy, you put, that's a special din in Hezek. And the Torah wrote only by Hezek, not by knas. Don't apply it to knas. And therefore the rosh learned that it's not a din in being goyish or being Jewish, it's a din in spending money on Avodah Zarah. Therefore the rosh can expand it even to a Jew. And therefore the Chasam Sofer expands it even to the old Kusim Geri Arayah saying. Mashenki and Taisvah said, no, it's a din in being goyish. It's not being Jewish. Jews don't, goyim don't get knas. Farvos, Dr. David Kviat. So you're going to have to say either because he holds, since the whole concept of knas is a chiddush, the chiddush was only said for Jews and not for goyim. Or the more lomdish way of saying it is that you'll have to understand that a knas is like a form of mazik, and just like a goy is nismayit for mazik, a goy is nismayit also from the din of knas. Okay, the lomdish of Mashayla had to learn this machloikis between Taisvah and the Rosh. Now, we're still holding with a kasha. What's Taisvis' kasha on Rashi? If you hold kusim geir aroy, you're saying, why did the girl get a kanash? She's a guy. So the Chasam Sofer said that kenosis is not about being Jewish, and not being Jewish is about being oivir avay dezara or not. Comes along the hafla. Now it's interesting, who was the hafla's Talmud? The Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer was a Talmud of the hafla, was one of his rabbeim. His other famous rabbi was Abnasan Adler. But one of the Chasam Sofer's prized famous rabbeim was the hafla. Now, why am I telling you this? Because keep in mind, the lomdus of the Chasam Sofer, you'll see, is kemat leforish in hafla. Maybe he heard it from his Rebbe, maybe not. It says the hafla like this.
Rabbi, so Yisrael Mumma would also be a machlokes.
Maybe, exactly, correct. Lefiza, Yisrael Mumma might be a shayla. If Yisrael Mumma gets knas or not. And that's a very good point. Chaim's making a very good observation. Lefiza shtikl Torah might come out as if Yisrael Mumma gets knas. Let's say a girl who went off the derech, does she get knas? So if it's a din of being goyish, she's Jewish. But if it's a din and going by the way, maybe according to the Shtikot Torah, that might come out. So comes along that floor with another kasha on Rashi. Again, Rashi says kusim geir aroisin. That basically means they're goyim. They're not Jewish. So frek that floor that he's trying to be miyashiv the Gemara. Gemara in Ksuba says that you don't give knas to a goy. So how can Rashi learn that you're going to give knas to a kusi who's geir aroisin? So zok the hafla. That our Gemara is not like Dafir Aleph. The Hossam Medina Yochel Achzer Lesura of Elias Goy Gemura Shleitinek by Minig Yehudis Klal. Over there, we're talking about a girl who was Megayer. Now she turns 12, and Bezin says to her, "Listen, you're in or you're out. You want to join Judaism? You want to go out?" So she can say, "I'm out. I want to go all the way back to the other side. I want to live a completely irreligious, non-Jewish life." So therefore, we're afraid that that's what's going to happen. Like the Chassam Sofer said, because even those that were kusim geir arayis, they still lived the Jewish life. So what? Therefore, says the Hafla, they look like they act like Jewish girls. They're not going to go back and act like goyim. So we'll skip the middle. That's Rashi. Says the Hafla, based on my Yisoid that I just developed, that even if you hold Kusim Geir Aroyisin, they were still living a moral Jewish life, I can answer a bomb kasha that I have on Rashi. What's my kasha? Frek the Hafla says I have the following kasha. Rashi says that they're Geir Aroyisin, Vidinam ki goyim gemurim im kein, ki hechid amina misanhedrin de hechad initan latzila benavshoi. Potem miknath mishum de mischai benavshoi. Frek the Hafla Akasha, which we're going to see Rebbe Kivega is going to discuss in a second. The Hafla was about 30 years older than Rebbe Kivega, so he kind of beat him to it. But Frek the Hafla like this. We know there's halacha that if you live with a guy, k'noyim poigim boy. If you live with a guy, a Jewish man goes over to a non-Jewish girl, he decides to live with her, so Meikar Adin, there's no Misa in Bezdin, but if anyone's watching, they can shoot him. He's open prey. If you are at the time watching a Jew live with a non-Jewish girl, you're there, you have a, you know, you have access to that, you see it, you have the right to kill him on the spot. So frek the hafla, one second. And therefore says the hafla, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin daf ein gimbal, hababa machteres. Let's say a guy, the famous sugi of hababa machteres, a guy breaks into someone's house, and while he breaks into my house, so I have a gun, because I'm a Republican, right? Not me, but those people that have guns, and people have... I was talking to someone who told me there's a frum chat on frum yidden that own guns. So it's apparently it's a very big thing these days. Now it's impossible to get one, but someone was telling me of frum people that own chats, and they talk about their guns, and they're this, and they're that. Okay, fine. In any case, so the halach of a baba machteres is if someone comes to my house, he breaks into my house, so that he's open prayer, I can shoot him. There's a shayla halacha, is a baba machteres in the gabe is manazeh also. So Rabbi Shavai's paskins, no. There's no above machteres mizan hazeh. Today that's not the way we deal with burglars. We don't shoot them. We call the police, whatever we do. If Chaim Kanevsky disagrees, he says, no. Mizan hazeh above machteres also. If Nevinsol also holds like that, a guy breaks into your house, shoot him. That's it. Blow his brains off. That's it. You know, above machteres. In any case, so what happens if the guy's above, not that I'm suggesting anyone do that, but in any case, above machteres, the guy breaks into someone's house, while he's looking for the jewelry, he breaks the lamp. So the Mishnah says he's putter on the lamp. Why? Kim lebedi rabbi minei. What Kim Lebedi Rabbi Mine is there? Because since he's open prey, he could be killed by the owner of the house. So he's potter from any mumminous payment. That's Kim Lebedi Rabbi Mine. So frek the hafla, one second. How could Rashi hold that if I live with a kusis, I'm potter, I'm chai for knas? If I live with a kusi is a guy. If she's a guy, so it's knayim poigim, but it's open, anyone can kill me. If anyone can kill me, I'm mischai ben avshoy. If I'm mischai ben avshoy, I have Kim Lebedi Rabbi Mine. If I have Kim Lebedi Rabbi Mine, how do I have to pay the money? As I frak the hafla. Now, there are many steps over here that we need to break down and deal with. First of all, what type of chiv is there for kanoim poikim bo? Is that like a real chiv? Or it just means I could kill you? Habab machteris, is that means I have to kill you? Or it means I could kill you? Is that the same as Kim Lebedi Rabbi? Kim Lebedi Rabbi, we always have in our mind, is a chiv. Reuven is chayiv misa. And he broke Kalim, so he's part of his Kimle Dramani. Here's a new type of Kimle. This is what we call a Kimle de Rishus. It's not a Kimle of Chiv. No one has to shoot the guy who's in the Machteres. But that's the Hafla's assumption, which we'll see if Kivegan makes a similar assumption as we'll deal with it when it comes up. So Zok the Hafla, V'chein Koshev, V'reish Perik Eloi No Loikin, V'choshev Kusi Sham. Another Kasha. It says a Kusi gets Malkus. Why does a Kusi get Malkus? So he says, maybe you'll tell me that all the cases are talking about when it's Bitsina. It's not Befehesia. So if it's not Befehesia, there's no Kanoim Paikin Boy. So if there's no Kanoim Paikin Boy, so that's why he's Chayiv. So the Aflos said, that's very hard to imagine. He says, it's hard to tell that the whole Mishnah that says it's Knas for a Kusi is if it's done Bitsina. Because if it's done Befehesia, so then it's Kanoim Paikin Boy. If there's Kanoim Paikin Boy, it's Kim Levi Draminei. If it's Kim Levi Draminei, it's Potter. The Aflos doesn't like that. And then he writes, "V'doichek lechalik mishum derishus who ayim ashekasav the mishnah melech hilchos retzer." And the Afla also says, "Don't try to be mechalik between a chiyuv misa and a rishus to kill," which is what we'll see. The mishnah melech gufa is mechalik. The Afla doesn't like that because again, habab machteres, and the case of kanoim poigim is not a chiyuv pashtus. It means if I could, I want to. So zok the Afla, don't tell me that. That's not a chiluk. Even though that seems like a very logical chiluk, the Afla doesn't like that chiluk. So Zok the Afla, so what's the teretz? He says, "Lafim Ashik Asav the Yeshua Medein Kenayim Poigim, but Kivan Dakulpone Misnagim and Minig Yehudis." Zok the Afla, Gevalde Gechidish. There's no din Kenayim Poigim by Kusim. Why? Because I just told you Kusim are living a moral life. They're living like good Beis Yaakov girls. So even though they're not Jewish, because Kusim get Arayi saying there's no din Kenayim Poigim by on them. Gevalde. Therefore, he says, since there's no din of Kanayim Poikim by in them, that's why, even according to Rashi, it'd be shaykh to have knas on them. So what did the Aflah just do? The Aflah just told us that Avada we hold Kusim Geri Aroyesin. They're straight up Goyim. So Frek the Kasha, they're straight up Goyim. So why exactly are they going to have knas? The answer is because they're not straight up Goyim. They're living a moral life. They're living a Jewish life. Memeil Zok the Aflah, if they're living a Jewish life, there's no din of Kanayim Poikim by. Now this is a Gevaldik Chiddush. Most of us assume the din of Kanayim Poikim by is totally in what? Being Jewish or not being Jewish. Right? She's not Jewish. She can act as Jewish as she wants. She's still not Jewish. Right? You can look as Jewish as you want to be. You're not Jewish. So we would have assumed that the din of Kanayim Poikim is not totally in how you behave. It's totally in how you are, what you are. Zok Afla Gevald Gechidish. The Rashi is Kusim Ger Eroi, you say. They're 100% not Jewish. But since she's living like a Jew, there's no din Kanayim Poikim. Mam
Shapel. What's the Havmina that there's Kanayim Poikim over here? It's an onus. What, you're going to kill her? You're going to kill him.
Kill him.
Like, right, but no. That, even if it's an onus, so you're saving her?
Yeah, he's still doing something wrong, even if he's ma'anah, sir. He's still acting inappropriately. This is a gevaldik chiddush, Rabbi said. This is a flaw. It's unbelievable. That there's no din kenayim poigima and kusim geri arayas because they're living a life like Jewish? Mamash apella. So I found in Rabbi Yashiv Shurim on Maseches Sanhedrin, Maseches Divamas. What are we learning? Subas. There we go. Right, Rabbi Yashiv used to give Shurim to Balabatim. And they started recording them. That's you can buy now the black sefer called Sefer Ha'aris from Rebbe Yashiv. Those are the shuim they used to give to the Baal Batim. You know, they were quite long the shuim from Rebbe Yashiv for what he used to give. I don't know when he used to give it at night or something, but they're very, very interesting. So there, Rebbe Yashiv tells us to look at a Taisus and Gittin Daf Chafei. What's going on in Taisus and Gittin Daf Chafei? So Taisus and Gittin is kemat alluding to the lumness of the Hafla. What does Taisus say over there? Taisus over there is discussing Kusim. And Taisus writes of the Avagad, the Svi Leib Menachas Paragebi Shmol, the Kusim Geri Aroyis saying, even though we hold the Kusim Geri Aroyis, that mean a torment of Mishal Avi Gachav, Mashal Kusim, Mikomokim. Kivin she Porsche me Avoid the Zara, Yois Mishal Avi Gachav. Zog Taisus, since Lamaisa, they do stay away from Avoid the Zara. Umachzikin bit Toyra Shebeksav. They keep Toyra Shebeksav. The Gam Eloi Hehem Enam Oivdim. Kamoshu Hoyo Oisim Bibayis Rishin. They're not like the original Kusim that were over the Avoid the Zara. They never made exer the rabbanon on yain shalkusim. For Taisus, why not? They're not Jewish. So Taisus is because lamaisa they're living a pretty Jewish life. Now again, the shaila of whether or not we're going to ask for their yain has to do with a couple of factors. Either it has to do with chasnus, which again, if you marry a kusi, you're over lois tschatin. Or it has to do with the fact that they were going to pour lavay dezar. So if it's about pouring lavay dezar, Taisus makes a lot of sense. Because Lamaisa said they're not going to pour lavay dezar because Kusim are not over lavay dezar. But says Rabbi Yashiv, if you see from this Taisus, that even though the Kusi still has a status of Geri Arayis, their mamish is not Jewish. But because they're living some form of a Jewish lifestyle, we're going to treat them differently. So Taina Rabbi Yashiv, maybe that's where the Hafla got it from. Maybe the Hafla said the same way we're not going to be geyser on their yayin, we're going to treat them like a Jew. Maybe it's the same thing for the din of Kanoim Poikim Boy.
Then so according to this, Goyim Mizmana said don't generally have the status of over the Avodah Zarah. So you wouldn't say Kanoim Poikim Boy Mizmana then? I mean, leaving aside other
Right, leaving aside the issue of Shituf and all that other good stuff that we talk about usually as we get closer to December. It's a question of whether or not what they're doing, what Christianity does today, is considered Avodah Zarah for them, is it considered Avodah Zarah for us. Again, this is a very mechuzik Taisus. Again, but it's interesting because Taisus says we're still gezer on their bread, which is not gezer on their yayin. I mean, the question would be more of Shach. If you're going to take kusim out of the whole parashas, then why machal yayin versus pas? So again, pas has to do with chastos. So again, there's still a nisa chastos on a kusi. According to this, you're still going to be able to lose his chatin if you marry them. So again, I'm not trying to explain. I'm just showing that Rabbi Yashiv said from this Taisus, you see a little bit of what the Haflo was getting at. But then that...
Also,
then,
yeah. Can we relate this whole discussion to what we said the first week on the lumdus of the Knas? Is it dinin punishing the man, or is it dinin compensating
very good. The woman? We're going to talk about that, yes. We're going to talk about that a little later in other Rishonim, that it might have a lot to do with the man's doing wrong or doing wrong to society, which is irrelevant of who the recipient of the wrong was. Yeah, Blined, we're going to get to that hopefully a little later this morning. Now, there's another Rambam that Rabbi Yashiv is mitzayin to. Rambam Hilchos Esuri B'Yizok, the Rambam. Habo'al bas ger toishav ein kenoyim poigim bo. Another chiddush. If a person's bo'al on a ger toishav, what's a ger toishav? A ger toishav is not a ger gomor. A ger toishav is not a girl who decides to become Jewish. It means she was mekabel not to be Oyvid of Oyvid Zara. Very nice. That's a ger toishav. Zok the Rambam, if a man is bo'al a ger toishav, there's no din kenoyim poigim bo. So let's say a guy goes over to a girl and she says, I believe in God. I'm a monotheistic, I believe in God, but I'm not Jewish. And then he lives with her, there's no din kenayim poigim boy. So frek the Magen Mishnah, why on earth not? She's not Jewish. Because she's not, even Avodah Zarah means she's not Jewish. Kenayim poigim boy is a din in goyim. Frek the Magen Mishnah, loy matzah sees a mevur. Where did it come from? Avol dover nirer hu she'en lonu ella al ba'al akusis. He says that might be true for akusis. Avol al ger toishev shehu nachri. Shakibul all of Shoilavoid Abdi Khovim Shiniskaper Gidalad ain't beat bidinze. But Frank the Magamishta may be a Kusi, because Kusi we all know are questionable what their status is. But a Ger Toishev? A Ger Toishev is a girl who's not Jewish, Christian raised, who decides I don't want to worship Yashka. I want to worship God. But I don't keep anything, I'm not Megayer, I don't have Kabbalah Mitzvahs, I'm living a Christian life, I just don't go to church, I don't believe in Yashka. Zakti Rambam, no Kenoyim Poigim, but Frank the Magamishta, why not? She's not Jewish. Zokter B'liyashiv, number 9. Uledivereinu nicha. Says B'liyashiv, according to this hafla, this Tyson Gittin, it's very geschmack. Why? Kivan do lehavi goyim gimurim kisha evdi yichavim, leka buhudina de knoyim poigim boy, ukida hahocha beba'al akusis, ulepelesh leyechiach mizah hafla dinay. Says the B'liyashiv, it's gewaldig according to the hafla. What did the hafla tell us? That in order to fall into the category of knoyim poigim boy, you have to be an evdi zara. So therefore, Zokter Rambam, beautiful, Ager Toishev is mekabel not to be an evdi zara. So since she's mekabel not to be neighbor of Avodah Zarah, there's no din kenayim poigim bo. Tainus Rebbe Yashiv, it's such a geshmak araya. Why didn't the Rambam bring it? Shtikol Tzarechin, says Rebbe Yashiv. But Rebbe Yashiv is developing this idea that there's no concept of kenayim poigim bo for someone who's neighbor of Avodah Zarah, even though they're a goy gomor. Diva says, the hafla, I can answer up our sugya. That's why there's no kenayim poigim bo on a kusi, because since a kusi is not a neighbor of Avodah Zarah, there's no din kenayim poigim bo on her. Very geshmak shtikol Torah from that floor with Rabbi Yashiv's Hoysof. Now, if you turn to number 10, this was Seth's Kasha number 10. That Taisva says that if you hold Kusim Geri Aroyasein, so then she's a guy. And if she's a guy, she has no knas. How do I know a guy has no knas? So we brought her right from the Gemara and Ksubas. The Gemara and Ksubas says you're not going to give a guy knas and she's going to eat it while she's not Jewish. So this Sefer Ha'aris Vitzioinim, I don't know exactly who's the other one of these contemporary Malakte Sfarim. So he asked the following Kasha Tzorechin. What was the havamina that a guy should have knas? Knas leke el benayra. We spoke about this in the first year. Knas is limited to the 12 and 12 and a half period of a girl's life. Loi b'ktana v'loi b'bagros. Not under 12 and not above 12 and a half. V'imkein tzarechin v'chi v'nochri z'yesh naru. Is there even such a concept for a guy to say she's 12, 12 and a half? Do those numbers mean anything? Harei narus hurak vav chadoshim. V'chol dinei she'urim nemu rak b'Yisrael. All these numbers of 12, 12 and a half, all these special age gaps are all for Jews. They're all chidushim, aloch moshe m'sinai. So he asks, mecha teisa, they would even apply to a guy. And since they don't apply to the guy, then the whole parsha doesn't apply to the guy, and therefore, perhaps she would not have knas as well. Okay, that's his tzarechin he has on our teisus. The achrayim bring down from the Magine Shlema. I went through the Magine Shlema a couple of times. I did not see exactly where he says it, which is why I didn't photocopy it, but I photocopied others who quote the Magine Shlema. and they quote him with different nuschois. But both are relevant to our sugya. Because again, what's the kash? If Rashi holds kusim geiri aroyisim, then kusim are goyim. If kusim are goyim, goyim don't get knas. Gemara says in ksubas, you don't give knas to a goy. So they quote over here from the Sefer Teresh Shmuel. He writes, I'm Magine Shlema, Shekosa B'Yishuv Shidas Rashi. Then Rashi saw the Daffel, man, the Omer Geir Aroyisim. Rashi's going to hold that even if you hold Kusim Geir Aroyisim, Mikom Mokim Yeshlem Din Yisrael. That Kusim Geir Aroyis does not mean they're not Jewish. What does it mean? It means V'rak D'Lav Geirim Gemurim Heim. L'Gabi Issachastus V'Issnayu B'Lav D'Lois Ischatim. What will it mean? It will mean that a Geirim are not completely Jewish. Therefore, you can't intermarry with them because of the law of Lois Ischatin. But Avad, they're not a Goy Gomor. And because they're not a Goy Gomor, that's why they're able to get Knas. Meaning they're an in-between level. Kusim Geir Arois are an in-between level. What's the in-between level? They're not Jewish, because we hold Kusim Geir Arois in. But for some strange reason, they're still treated like a Jew. And because they're treated like a Jew, they can get Knas. Now, if you look at page 2, where I quoted from another Sefer who quotes the Magine Shleima, the Leiv Aryeh, a very popular Sefer on Maseches Chulin, he writes, V'yagat, now the truth is, there are Rashis in different places in Shas that give off such a mashmois. There's a Rashi somewhere, Rashi says in basically was Rashi, I think is in Erevin, Rashi says that Kusim Einam Oived Kechovim Gemurim. They're not completely like Goyim. What does it mean, not completely like Goyim? So it might sound like this middle Madrega. That Avada, their Kusim Ger Aroyi, saying they have a lot of Lois Eschatim, but still, they're not mamish like a goy. So if you look over here, the Levi quotes the Magine Shlomo by Yosin Ksuba. So he says, "Tahadikam Hashem Echad Geira Royis veEchad Geira Chaloyim Es Kulam Geirim Heim Upirish Rashi Shom Geira Royis Kigoyin Kusi." This really Rashi. The after I mean in Kusim Geira Royis, and even if we hold Kusim Geira Royis, saying, "Einai Mochlet Machmazer Sheyedinam Kigoyim Gemurim." It does not mean that they're goyim gemurim. That's what Taisa said. Taisa said in Rashi, "If you hold Kusim Geira Royis, that's it. They're goyim." Ella b'chol mokim daminim geira Royis Heim Hein Inyan Hushin Es Gayu Meyira. It's because they were megayri out of fear. V'yeshem achzikim oisem kigoyim machmazeh. And there are those who assume it wasn't legitimate. V'yeshem einam achzikim oisem machmazeh kigoyim. And others say maybe not. Which means lefizeh the shayla according to Magine Shloim is, we don't really know what they were thinking when they were megayri. We don't know. It's a suffix. So we play it both ways. We're machmir to give them a lav of lois eschatein. But mitzad sheni, we treat them like a Jew for other halachas. And melos up to Magine Shloim. Then it's very gishmak. That's why they can get a knas. The Gemara says in Ksubas, you don't give knas to a guy. That's a full-blown guy. A kusim geirais, they're not full. We don't know what they are. We're mamish not sure. And because we're not sure, therefore we consider them perhaps a shtickle Jewish, not enough to allow marriage, but enough to say that they're still eligible for a knas. So learns the Magine Shleim. Now what does this sound like from last week's Shenron, remember? Sounds like the Meiri. Number 13, Zok the Meiri. V'akusis. And even though we're going now, Zok the Meiri, that the Kusim Ageri Aroi is saying, and they have an Issachasnus, but since they're Mechoyiv in Mitzvahs, now I don't know if he means that halachically they're Mechoyiv, or they decided to be Mechayim them in Mitzvahs, hein kishar chavilav, they're like anyone else. Elo shekvar asom achakach kegoyim gemum, but later on they became like goyim. If you hold the Geri Aroyis, Ech Yavinu L'Knas, the Ozlu V'Ocha B'Giyu, so Mamash Toysvis is Kasha, you don't give Knas to a guy, B'Shum Shalei Choyt in Iska, we don't want him to gain. So he writes, no. V'Einei Shaila, skip one line, Shemikomokam Hoyl V'Yeshno B'Chlal Mitzvahs Lav Geyus Mikri. Zok the Miri, they have mitzvahs. So we spoke about this last week. What does the Meiri mean? Does the Meiri mean that they did a Gavis and the Gavis only went so far? Or maybe the Meiri means like the Magine Shleima. We have no idea what to make from these people. We have no idea what they are. So maybe we're choishish the lav of Lois Eschatin, Alz Geir Erois, but Lamaisa Vibalta, they're keeping Torah and Mitzvahs, so we have to treat them like a Jew. So we're going to treat them like a Jew. We have to get Knas. So maybe this Meiri might have something to do with this Magine Shleima. The Sukkas David of David Kriyat points out that if you accept this Magine Shloima, so then you can go back to the beginning of our Taisvis. If you remember the beginning of our Taisvis said that Rashi holds that Kusim Geri Aroise. They're Goyim Gemur. If they're Goyim Gemurim, so then they have a lot of Lois Eschatin. So says Taisvis, one second. That's only if you hold that Lois Eschatin applies while they're still not Jewish. If you hold Lois Eschatin applies only after they become Gerim, so then a Kusi doesn't have Lois Eschatin. Zokter of David Kriyat, no. He says, according to the Magine Shleima, Barashi and Adal, Rashi, Gam Geir Aroyis, Havi Geir Midir Aisa. But according to this Magine Shleima, that's not a pshat. They're really Geirim. V'rak the kibun shit is gay v'rak miyiri yesh b'm lav v'lois is chaten. Their lav v'lois is chaten is not because they're not Jewish, it's just because we're not sure. Imke yeshoy medel Rashi ha'lech l'fi maskonas rabba. So maybe Rashi holds even according to maskonah. Even after all the smoke clears, maybe Rashi holds that they taka were megayir. They're not pre-gayir, they're post-gayiris. The gamle kosher kushos and alenochri in the kasher, still not kasher. They're a goy. Because they're not really goyim. They're quasi-goyim, or quasi-Jewish, depends how you want to look at it. And therefore it's shayach that we could be talking even post the gayris, and they're still shayach, the lav of loy, says chatim. Okay, that's all Rashi and Tosfos. Now, Tosfos had a problem. Tosfos learned that kusin gayri emesei, not like Rashi. They're full-blown Jews. So Tosfos has $1 million kasha. If they're full-blown Jews, what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? So Tosfos said, the chiddush in the Mishnah is that even though they're full-blown Jews, you would think they don't get knas. Kamash when they get knas. Now there's a little Tosfos Yishanim by us, number 15. Tosfos Yishanim says a different shot. It's also Tosfos in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches. Says the Tosfos Yishanim, inami, another terrace to the kasha, if you hold Kusim Geri Emesain, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Again, if you hold Kusim Geri Emesain, the regular Jews. They're regular Jews, like any other Jew who's Megayer.
No, but maybe that exactly is a chiddush of the mission of the Gary Anderson.
Very good. Zok the Tosfos Yishanim, inami. Zok the Tosfos Yishanim, inami. He goof a kamash malon. Zok the Tosfos Yishanim, you know what the chiddush of our mission in Ksubas Daf Chav Tes is? The Gary Emesain. That's the answer. Zok the Tosfos Yishanim, the chiddush in Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Chav Tes is to teach me the din that Kusim Gary Emesain. It's such a nice pshat. What's wrong with the pshat? What's wrong with such a beautiful pshat? Besides the fact that Tosfos doesn't say it, the Chared is a very basic kasha that one can ask on this pshat. And I found it over in number 16. What's the kasha? Chedusha HaRanach. He writes, Imkein, my kamash v'lam pshita d'yesh sol knas d'yesol gemur. He d'yesholim d'yesol adad d'yesol knas shloi tamu b'am. That's Tosfos. Ein lahakshah, don't ask me. Amar loy tirtu at Tosfos d'kal mash v'lam d'geri emesein. D'loy mash v'lhu d'masnis in asya hochel ashmin and d'geri emesein, d'geri eroyesein. He says, what do you mean? That's not the agenda of Ksubas Daf Chav Tes. Ksubas Daf Chav Tes is not talking about the status of Kusim. The sugya of Ksubas Daf Chav Tes is discuss what? Is to discuss who gets Knas. He writes over here, don't tell me that the Chiddush in the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes was to tell me the sugya of Kusim Gerei Arayisim. It's so out of place. Chav Tes and Ksubas is about Knas. That's, you want to tell me the Chiddush is that a Kusi gets Knas. That makes sense. But to tell me that the ganze Mishnah was written just to tell me that a Kusi is Gerei Emesim? It's so out of place. I think it's a Gavaldik Ha'ara. Again,
because all the cases are weird. You don't need a mission to tell you that a Nara with perfect Ichus gets Knas. All the cases...
And Achram, but they're all Chidushim in Knas. But they're all Chidushim in Hilchus Knas. They're not a Chidush in Hilchus Geri Aroi, is Geri Emesein. That's his point. Meaning, Lefiza is not a Chidush in Hilchus Knas. Meaning, if she's a Goy, she doesn't get a Knas. If she's a Jew, she gets a Knas. The Chidush is not connected in any specific way to the status of Kusim Geri, of Knas. Okay. Well, we'll leave it here. Believe that the next week. What?
If that was the Chiddush in the Mishnah, why is it still in Machlokes in the Gemara? Whether it's Kusim Geri or
Geri Emesein? No, the text, our Mishnah is going like that Tana that holds Kusim Geri Emesein, like of Meir. Okay, so believe that the next week we'll get into the Machlokes. We're showing him if our Mishnah is going Kusim Geri or Emesein, then we'll deal with Reb Kivegas Gavaldik Kikasha about also Kenoyim Poigim Boy. We'll have to leave that all for Mr. Shem for next week. Okay, Mr. Shem, this Tuesday we'll have the Halacha Sheh Bas Mitzvah Part 2. We'll really be discussing the Baruch of Baruch Sheh Patrani. Do you say Baruch Sheh Patrani for a boy? And why don't you say Baruch Sheh Patrani for a girl? Mr. Shem will have the Chumash here as well on Wednesday night as well. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful week. Be well, stay safe. Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you.
You're a strong, Rabbi. Take care, everyone.